Sunday night, Chodesh Halvav Shir. We're in Shara Bodes Halokim Paragimel, and we're up to the seven qualities of Heara Toronis. Even though Heara Sichlis is the goal, we want to have our personal relationship with Hashem that we develop with our Seichel, but the Torah, which brings on what he called Kniya Tachtona, is a necessary, essential stepping stone to the goal. And he gives seven reasons, seven ways, seven qualities why the rules are necessary. Number one, we're up to number three. Number one was that people, being people, would bounce from extreme to extreme. They would be one day Ruchni, one day Gashmi. One day they wake up and they feel like partying, and the next day they wake up and they feel like going to a monastery and going into his bodhidus. Because there's a struggle in a man, in a woman, in mankind. There's a struggle between these forces, so you just bounce around. And the Torah is the perfect medium. The Torah says, yes, you can get married, but here's who you can get married to. Yes, you could earn money, but there's an Isser Ribbis and an Isser Onah. Yes, you can eat and enjoy food, but not all foods. Sheshes Yamim Ta'avod, you can work for 6 days, but one day you should devote to spiritual pursuits. So that's number one. Number two is that without the Torah, we really wouldn't know what to do. We don't know if a person... He gives some examples which are rather startling. He says, you know, your intellectual person who's figuring this all out, he probably wouldn't end up davening. He would probably end up saying, davening? That's a chil Hashem to daven. What, are you going to change Hashem's mind? Hashem's going to do what he's going to do. Fasting. He says, you would never fast. Staka, you know, with capitalist objectivity. So you would never give stock. And besides, Hashem wanted the person to be poor. Who am I to argue? And he says, there are things, and then we wouldn't know how much or how little. How much, you know, even if we get over the hump and we say, okay, I'm going to do chesed with someone else. It's very hard. How much chesed? How little chesed? What about priorities? He says, we wouldn't know priorities. Let's say, you know, chesed versus davening mincha. Let's say someone's waiting to give me a ride to Yishlayim, to Chasana, and I want to daven ma'ariv with a minyan, and he's willing to wait for me. Should I make him wait for me and daven with a minyan? And this is really what comes up. What you're going to object to, I know, is that even after the rules, we still don't know what to do. But there are rules. And a Rav knows the rules. But if there wouldn't be rules, then we really wouldn't know what to do. And we wouldn't know how much or how little. And we would be in a fog most of the time. We'd be frustrated. It would be very frustrating. How can we serve Hashem? Like, what should I do? Should Shabbos be 2 days a week? Or should it be a half a day a week?
In Japan.
And like, what should I do? What?
In Japan, isn't there a whole hospital about, or Hawaii?
No, that's what day. Where's the international date line? That's a halachic legal issue. Where according to halacha, where's the international date line? We're not. There's one point in the world which is 23 hours and 59 minutes and 59 seconds behind the next second, right? In other words, it goes this way. So at some point, the sun rises. And then the sun rises. But here it's the last rising of Monday, and here it's the first rising of Tuesday. There has to be one point in the world where the day starts. I'm just using the sun. I mean, the day starts at night by us. But there has to be a point in the world where the day starts. And that means 24 hours later, it's the first minute of that cycle. And the next second, it's the first minute. So that those two places are really 1 second apart. If you go this way, but if you go the real way, it's 23 hours and 59 minutes and 59 seconds apart. No? Get it? And that's called the international date line, where you can have 1 foot in Monday and 1 foot in Tuesday. that a Goyim decided it's what, 180 degrees Greenwich, something like that. I just know those words when I was in school.
It's
180 degrees from Greenwich.
Mainly where the sea is.
But they decided where it should be. Now the Shaila is, do we go, we're Jews, everything's in Torah. So that's the Shaila. So the Chazon Ish has a sheet of where it is, based on whatever it's based on, and the Chaim Michal Tukachinsky, famous person in Yerushalayim, had a different sheet of what it was. And some opinions hold we can follow the Goyim, that it's arbitrary, and it just, as long as the people, the world has to decide where it's going to be. But it really doesn't matter. I can bring in a library.
But they're all close together, all the three of them. They're not that far away.
But it makes a difference. When they were in Shanghai, they didn't know what to do. Not in Shanghai so much, but when they were in Kobe, Japan, they didn't know what to do. And in Australia, they don't know what to do. So there's some areas in the world where... that's not what we're talking about. That's a legal issue. I'm talking about that the Chazalovers are saying you wouldn't know if you should keep 2 days of Shabbos, because maybe Hashem wants me to rest and recognize that He's the Creator and forget all my work and everything. Anyway, Shabbos is 2 days, Friday and Shabbos. That's what he says. We'd be in a mevucha. So the Torah clears the fog and sets up rules. And as I say, it's nogeya priorities. It's nogeya. How much would you daven? Maybe you spend the whole day davening. I don't know. What does Hashem want from me? So, and we wouldn't really figure out with our seichel the perfect way to serve Hashem. Or at least we'd be confused. So that's another quality of the Torah. The Torah gives us rules and guidelines and tells us how much and how little. And the Shulchan Aruch, I'm adding to that, tells us the priorities. It's not always simple what the priorities are. Okay, now we're up to number three. Vahashlishi. Vahashlishi says that the Torah is a great equalizer. If we had to leave it up to people to figure out... So there are some people who are intellectually more endowed. The Torah is very not elitist. It's elitist because you have Kohanim and Levim and men and women and a Melech. That's the system. That's because Klal Yisrael is really one body. And a body has a head and arms and legs. But he's saying if there would only be Ha'ara Sichlis, then your Avodas Hashem would be determined by your intellectual prowess. And you could be the kindest, softest, most edel or chesed person in the world, but like, you don't know what to do yet, you can't figure it out. So Torah is a great equalizer. As I said, the Rebbe has to put on tefillin. I think it's great for a kid to know that his Rebbe has to keep Shabbos, his Rebbe has to put on tefillin, his Rebbe has to daven. I think it's good that parents will be role models for the children. The children see that the parents bench, the bench. Like they see it's everybody. Everybody has to listen to Hashem. No one's throwing their weight around and just being, condescending. Or everybody has the same authority over them. Now it's easier for me to teach something because if the student understands that I am also just a student of my Rebbeim and of Hashem, so it's easier for him to listen. If they see me as the ultimate authority, then it's easier to rebel. Al-Kaponami says, Ki ha-hara ha-sichlis eina kolelas kol ha-metsuvim. It can't include everyone equally, that they kotzer machsheves ketzosim, because some people don't have the intellectual grasp. Some people wouldn't figure out Shabbos. What are you going to do about those people? So some of Klal Yisrael are going to keep Shabbos, some are not going to keep Shabbos. This is the great equalizer. The Yisron HaKoras Ketzosim Al Ketzosim. The Hora HaToria Koleles Kol Mi Shehigia L'Tnaei HaTzivui. You're Bas Mitzvah, you're Bas Mitzvah, that's it. This is what you have to do, this is what you're not allowed to eat, this is how you have to dress, and this is what you have to do with your life. You have to daven, you have to get stuck on it. It's everybody. Everybody's the same. Everybody has to wear tefillin. So it's funny, that's the quality of Ha'ara Sichlis, he said, and that's the quality of Ha'ara Toranis. Ha'ara Sichlis is everybody's putting a mezuzah on their door. Everybody's taking challah. But how much soul you put into it is going to determine your relationship with Hashem. That's called the quality of Aras Sichlis, or else everybody would just be the same. It would be boring. Hashem wouldn't need so many people. but then he turns around and he makes it into a quality for a quality of Ha'ara Toranis. He says, because or else some people wouldn't take challah at all. Some people would be taking challah, some people wouldn't be taking challah. They haven't figured out that that's a good thing to do. Right? I told you, I don't even understand challah. I told you my kasha on challah. It's a wonderful thing. You already took Trumas and Maestras. You gave the Kain, you gave the Levi, you gave my Sasheni, you gave my Sirani. You took everything already. You took Bikurim from Chita. You took Bikurim, you gave it to the Kain. You took Truma, you gave it to the Kain. You took my Sirishan, you gave it to the Levi. You took my Sirani, you gave it to the Ani, let's say. Not just because you ground it up and made a dough. I have to give something to the Kayan. I don't know. If it was just an Aura Sichlis, I don't even think I would take a challah. I'd say, no reason, no point. I took already. I gave it to office. So, that's what he says. The quality of Aura Toranis is that everybody's taking a challah. Whether you figured it out, you didn't figure it out, it's an equalizer. It makes Klal Yisrael, it really bonds Klal Yisrael together. Everybody has to keep Shabbos. No one could say, well, you know, that's what he's saying. Kolelos kol mi shehigia letznoi hatzivoi al derech shove. V'mheim chalukim bahavonosom osa. They might be different in their understanding of Shabbos and their appreciation of Shabbos. That's where the difference will be. Kamo shehigdamdu b'sof shar harishim and ha-sefer hazeh. The Yeshi or the Makatzer Biktsasin Yonov Umosif Biktsasim. Some people will be more drawn to chesed oriented mitzvahs, and some people will be more drawn to more intellectual pursuits. But everybody's like, nobody sinks below the red line. Everybody has something in common. They're all keeping Shabbos, they're all davening, they're all. So that's a tremendous quality. The Yeshu Yehuda Mekatzah B'Ktsas and Yonah V'Mosef B'Ktsasim U'Mischalefes Ha'oros HaSeichel Bo B'Hischalef HaKaroso. It could change based on his delving into the mitzvah, appreciating the mitzvah. The Ha'orah HaToriyah Eina Mischalefes Ba'atzma. It's unchanging, it's unyielding. Avol Tzuros Tzura Achas. Imagine if mezuzah, some people would put up, you know, one parasha Shema Yisrael, and some people would put up, you know, I kind of like the Akedah. I'm going to put up the Akedah on my door. And then someone says, the parasha of Rachel Imenu speaks to me. He says, we can't have that. This is a great quality that the whole Klal Yisrael is putting up the same parchment on the same door to Dore Doros. Lenar, Lebocher, Leyoshish, Lezoke, Lemafke, Lexil, old, young, aged, smart, not so smart. Umeschalef Hamaisa, Shia Machmosa, Bechol Asher Zocharnu. There are different mitzvahs of different people. You see, that's objective in itself. Hashem says, Kohanim, do this. Because Hashem looks at the whole Klal Yisrael as one achid, one unit. So, you know, okay, Kohanim, you do this, and you do that, and you do that, and you do that. But once you get down to people, so there's the great equalizer. And then each person finds personal expression and personal fulfillment and personal growth with his or her Ha'ara Sichlis that they apply to the mitzvah. In other words, I will plumb the depths of Shabbos and I'll taka have a different Shabbos than my neighbor, let's say, who just eats chomp and goes to sleep. But we both know you can't be borer, right? We're both careful not to be borer, and so there's a bond there. There's a bond, and it makes Klal Yisrael into one. Elisha Maisa Hamitzus Hanovea Kmo Shomer Asayfe Bechlis Oratoris Cholom, and that's why we have Hakel, that once every 7 years, everybody comes together. He's saying that this is the purpose of Hakel, and this is a necessary thing, that you want everybody to feel. Hakel is Om Hanoshim, Banoshim, Batas. Begercha Asher B'Sherecho, L'man Yishmu, L'man Yilmedu. Like in the shul, I can tell you just a microcosm of this is, you know, different people do different things in the shul, right? And different people have different kochos, and some people this, and some people that, and anything else. But you have to have some things that is a... if you want to be a kehila, then it's like... So, you know, if it was up to me, every Shabbos would be that. It's not like that. You know, go bang your head against the wall. What are you going to do? But then you have, like, you know, like Purim, everybody comes to shul. Tisha B'Av, everybody comes to shul. Yom Tovim, basically have everybody coming to shul, except the people that went away on vacation. Yeah. But, you know, I see it as important. That's why we try to make, like, Hanukkah Friday night, like, or I'm saying Purim, like, I try to make, like, there's a thing, like, Hakel, you have to have sometimes, you have something, because some different people are drawn to different things. So I'll say Yom Kippur Cotton. Some people will feel like saying Yom Kippur Cotton, most people won't feel like saying Yom Kippur Cotton. They make a Seder, you make, or the women, same thing. You make this, and some people this, some people that, but you really want to have something a few times a year. I mean, it's not going to work more than 2, 3, 4 times a year, which everybody feels this is the kehila. We're all equal in this. This is everybody. Rich, poor, smart, not so smart, talented, not talented. This is something we're all coming together and doing. And that's what Hakel is. So he says Hakel. Hakel means the whole class is getting together and they're listening to the Torah and saying, wow, this is us. This is it. And if it was Ha'ara Sichlis was all that there was, you wouldn't have that experience, you wouldn't feel that bond. Klal Yisrael would not feel one nation, because everybody would be doing their own thing based on what they have figured out. So it's like the perfect, beautiful blend of, you know, I don't know, you know, you talk to someone who's not yet from. You know, they look at the from world and they see robots. So, you know, we know they're right, but we try not to tell them that. Okay. But the system is beautiful. The system is perfect. The people are no good. But the system is beautiful. The system has everybody, there's a nation. You can't get away from the fact that there's a nation. This is the Maral talks about this constantly, that Hashem wants a nation. Hashem doesn't want individuals. Our tefillos are in Lashon Rabbim. Hashem, there were individuals, and that's why Hashem didn't give the Torah until there was a nation. Hashem could have given the Torah to Avram Avinu. Maral says he didn't because Avram Avinu was an individual. Hashem had much more grandiose plans in mind. He wanted a nation. There's a unit called a nation. It's not just an invention of the United Nations. There's a thing called a nation. There are 70 basic nations. There are 70 nations. There are 70 Sorim Lamala. And Klal Yisrael is Kichelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chevel Machaloso. Right? So, yeah. But they want to be robots. So this is Mamish, the perfect system. Everybody has to keep Shabbos. Everybody has to eat kosher. Everybody has to do this. And then there's so much room for expression. And the Halavas holds the Ha'ara Sichlis is the goal. This is kid stuff. This is the stepping stone. This is just to keep everybody on an even keel, to keep everybody bonded. But then, go ahead. Instead of complaining that Judaism, I'm not saying anybody complains, but when you complain, oh, Judaism, robots, you say, well, robots. What do you do with Shabbos? You're not tied to your neighbor. What you do with Shabbos, how much you bond to Hashem on Shabbos, or how much hergish you have about that Hashem created the world, or how you relate to Shabbos. I told you there's three ways of relating to Shabbos. There's the Bitachon way, and then there's Hashem is the creator of the world way, and then there's a higher purpose to life than working. There's an Olam Haba. There's that way, right? That's what we call the Parshas Hamon and the Aseres Hadibros in Yisro and the Aseres Hadibros in Beis Chanan. You can relate to Shabbos how you want, you know. And so the Torah says, you know, we don't, because the. But that's where Ora Sichlus comes in, and that's where individuals find expression in.
What so, is the Bitachon way of Shabbos?
That's the lesson of Shabbos, that you don't have to work. Hashem will provide in 6 days.
Okay.
That's the month. And that came before Aseres HaDibros. It's always fascinating to me that Shabbos is introduced in the Chumash. We don't know about Mara. You know, we don't know what happened at Mara. But it's introduced in the Chumash, in the Torah, as a Bitachon issue. There's one day a week you don't have to work. It doesn't say, you know, Shabbos, Ashkishashis, don't say. It just says, one day a week, no mon, you're not going to work. It's Shabbos, just relax, Hashem's going to provide for you. Don't worry. Okay. So that's Hakel. That's amazing. That's such a beautiful thought about what Hakel is. Hakel is that everyone should look around and say, we're all in this together. V'horavi. We're now up to the fourth of the seven. V'horavi. This is amazing. He says, too many Xeroxes. Kimina Yodua, he really says, he says, Torah, what are we trying to envision here? What do we need the Torah for? Why can't everybody just be like Avraham Avinu, you know, and be a hippie, hang out, have his bodedus, you know, bond with Hashem, go to Jerusalem forest. You know, what do we need this Torah for? So Ravi, the fourth reason is, it's stifling. The Torah is stifling us with rules. It's just, so Ravi is something we always tell our kids is not true. But it's a little true. That's what you see in the Chavis HaLavis. And that is that the Torah is more than, the Torah is also history. He says, the Torah, if Hashem wouldn't have given us the Torah, then everybody would, I'm born, and like I would be the beginning and I would be the end. I wouldn't feel myself part of a chain. I wouldn't feel myself linked to a past. I wouldn't feel that I'm a Ben Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. And that I'm part of a Masorah, I'm part of a nation, not just of a nation now, I'm a history. And that history has Yetzias Mitzrayim in it, and that history has Matan Torah in it, and that history has the Beis HaMikdash in it, and that history has the Churban Beis HaMikdash in it, and the history has the Bayis Shemi, and the Inquisition, and Spain, and the Holocaust. This is all part of who I am. This is, that wouldn't be part of a person's makeup without the Torah. Then it would just be me and Hashem, and I would like, it would be very narrow, it would be very individualistic, it would be very mitzumtzam. And Hashem has greater things in mind, and He wants us to know about it. He wants us to know our past. He wants us to know where we're coming from. He wants me to know that my father escaped the Holocaust. You know, it's amazing. He went to yeshiva. My father, right? Not everybody, you know, they picked out one kid to go to yeshiva, right? So my father was the one in yeshiva. So he had his own life.
Yeshiva where?
My father was in Kletsk. My father was a Talmud of Baron Kotler in Europe. He went to Kletsk. And so what happened to the rest of the family? So some, okay, they rather didn't, one was killed by the Germans, but the rest came there to sell and became not from. The whole family came out from. My grandparents were from. The person I'm named after was a very from person. My father's siblings came to Israel, all became not from. Because it was Zionist, you know, that's what you did. You came here, you were Zionist, you didn't need the Torah anymore. What was my point? My point is, yeah, like, that's where I come from. So the Torah, that's number one. And then he says another point. He says, and this is classic Chovas HaLevavos, our degree of being Avdei Hashem should be based on our Hakaras HaTov to Hashem. And so the Hakaras HaTov, like, look at all the events that happen to a person. Look, now that's not to say there's nothing wrong with it would start with a person. Sometimes that's a tremendous quality. Sometimes that's unbelievable that one person could, like, you know, stand up and then create their own chain. That's a tremendous mila. But that's one of the reasons the Torah exists, he says. That's all. One of the reasons. One of the reasons is so that we could connect with the whole story, with Avraham Avinu, with Yitzchak, with Yaakov. We can connect with these people. And we appreciate, and we have appreciation. We know that Avodos Hashem is commensurate with our Hakaras HaTov to Hashem. All the things that happened and that didn't happen to others, so we appreciate, we have thanks to Hashem. Like, how did I end up where I am today? Like, all these things had to happen. We have to respond, and we have to respond in kind. If Hashem, we read in the Torah, look what Hashem did, and there's more tova, and there's more good, more taking care of us. So, you know, he says, he's going to say later in Shavuot the Salukin that this is true on an individual basis too. The person finds themselves, I escaped the economic downturn, I have more children than I thought it was possible, I have more koiches than I thought was possible, I'm okay, I see people around me have all sorts of issues and sorrows, and Baruch Hashem, you have to pay back, because of his fundamental yisod, that our avodah is based on Hakaras HaTov. So he says this is true now on a national level, and that's known to us through the Torah. The going in the midbar, I don't have to give you a list now, it's known. So however we ended up serving Hashem, we have to thank him for enabling us. The Yod Osonu, as I say, you know, like, and as I have to feel, I'll talk personal again now, it's amazing. I'll say it just to bring out the point of the Chavis HaLavas. My father's family came to Eretz Yisrael before we came not from, all of the siblings. My cousins, I have no connection to them whatsoever, and they're like, they're the next generation. My mother's family went to America. They all became not from in America, virtually, except for one. Became not from, because America, Kishmak, you know. Israel was because Israel, you don't have to be from anymore. That was my father's family. And my father and mother, Mutzel Neyesh. No less than if they escaped concentration camps. What's the difference? They escaped the spiritual holocaust. Spiritual holocaust of the Zionism. And that was the spiritual holocaust of America. What's the difference? And they met. These two people met. Each one is like Ud Mutzel Ne'esh from the family that fell in different ways, Nebuch. And like the grandparents are from, my grandparents are from, but my cousins on both sides, one of the songs. To turn off the thing. They made like a roots thing. They made like a family reunion. My mother's side of the family. So, you know, they have no seichel. They have no shaykhs to Yiddish guy, never. So they made it Friday and Sunday. Like, you know, so they, the first thing was Friday night in an Italian restaurant. That was the kickoff. We didn't go. Sunday they all went. I didn't go. I had a tzad to go. I felt it's important they should see that they have frum cousins. So I really would have flown in for it. It was in America. But my sister said, don't be crazy. You're going to come in. So I didn't go. I listened to my older sister. She has more seichel than me anyway. But they all went. They went. My brother and two sisters went. And it was very, very good. It was a very good experience. Because they don't know no shaykhs to frum kai. So anyway, so I think sometimes, I don't know what to say, that, you know, these two people met, you know, and had four children. But what are the odds? Like, mamish, my father could have easily been at home instead of in yeshiva. My mother, I don't know, she went to public school. I don't know to this day why she was different than so many of her friends. I don't know. Like, Chastei Hashem. Okay, she... I don't know. She never presented herself as any, like, you know, regular lady. I don't know. She went to public school. She had friends. I don't know. And all of us... Really, everyone came out from it. And she met... So that's what he's saying. You have to say, wow, thank you, Hashem. Like, I really have to thank you. Like, because both my parents could have easily... Really, it's amazing. You have to think. That's what he says. The Torah is a history book also. When we tell our children the Torah is not a history book, we say, yeah, for the moment as it is. It's also a history book. These are things we wouldn't know. With just Ha'ara Sichlis, we wouldn't know. We wouldn't know Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We wouldn't know that Hashem gave the Mon and the Midbar. We wouldn't know that there was a Korach. We wouldn't know that there was a Dasan and Aviram. We would, like, the narrative of the Jewish people, we wouldn't know. And you have to know that. That's why we have a say there, and we tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Avraham Avinu was Av Hamon Goyim, so anybody that joins us is part of that history too, because that's why Avraham was given that koach, that his influence was felt over the whole world, and certain neshamos joined up, and they're part of that history too. That's why even a ger could say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, right? Because they're part of that history automatically. And they also have to feel Akoras HaTov that Yitzias Mitzrayim, and when they give Bikurim, right? They give Bikurim. What do you mean they give Bikurim? It says Ashenishba Hashem Lavol Seinu Losus Lanu. No, because Avram was Av Hamon Goyim, and there are people that chose to be part of that narrative, to be part of that history. So that's what he's saying. That's what the Torah is. That's what he's saying. He's saying the Torah is a history book too. And you have to know that history. So there's a lot of... I think he's making two main points. First of all, we have to know that we are bonded with the whole picture. The picture is not me. You know, it's not me. It's us, and it's history. It's like teaching kids about the Holocaust. Right? You say, what do I have to teach them for? Just depress them. No, because it's important to know how we got to where we are today. We have to know that, like, 50, 60 years after a Holocaust, well, look at us, you know. It's really, I mean, it's mind-boggling. You have to think about it. We literally, I mean, it's nisim. We don't appreciate it. We don't appreciate it. If you know history, you appreciate what happened and how you got here and how you had no right to get here. What got you here? That's number one. And number two is that will inspire us to have more Akaras HaTov, and that will inspire us to feel more of an obligation to be Avdei Hashem, because the more we are beholden to Hashem, the more Hakaras HaTov we have, the more we feel that everything we are and where we're holding is really only thanks to Him. There's many other people who, I mean, you know, you can pick anything. I'm living in Eretz Yisrael. I grew up with people who are just as smart as me, and just as frum as me, and just as this as me, and just as that as me, and they didn't make it here. So, should I take credit? Because I decided to move here. That's a very small part of it. I'm talking universally now. Because I was able to move here, because my parnasa enabled me to move here, and I was able to do it. And my wife was willing to do it. And my children, I'll tell you the story. It's a story. So we decided to come to Eretz Yisrael. And my oldest son was Nehemiah. He was like, he was already 19 years old, 18 years old. He said, "No way, why go? Crazy, Meshuggah." So he made like a rebellion in the family.